Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. Today we're talking about when Southern women cook, and we're talking specifically about breads and breakfasts. So that many people have had biscuits and gravy, many people have had collard greens and fried chicken. So this is food that has a very long-standing history in terms of the South, especially. And when you talk about, you know, who are these Southern women? You know, they're certainly a class of their own. Between Reese Witherspoon and even Winston Churchill, in terms of having class. They're ladies who have gone south of the Mason-Dixon line, and people talk about, what is a Southern woman? Well, they tend to marry respectable young men and become ladies of society. And they certainly know how to practice Southern hospitality, which includes cultivating beauty and displaying kind of a flirtatious yet chaste demeanor. It's kind of fun. We think of Southern women as warm and enchanting, having sort of an inviting air. Polite, definitely respectful. Definitely well kept. You know, the whole Southern Belle attitude of being loyal to family and friends. I think this is something that it's always fun to think of people in a certain way. And then when you think of food, Southern food has certainly got its own style and its own way. You know, it's influenced by Native American and European and even African cuisines. So it has quite a wide range in terms of where you find this style of cooking. It isn't just in the South. But people think, when they think of Southern cooking, they think of fried chicken and biscuits, chicken and dumplings, certainly chicken fried steak, and fried green tomatoes. Tomatoes and I just love that image. Especially the movie that came out, Fried Green Tomatoes. So, you know, some of the southern states will definitely talk about, you know, Southern Carolina and North Carolina and Louisiana. And we're talking about Maryland. We're talking about Florida, Texas, Virginia, West Virginia even, Alabama. And if I didn't mention Georgia, I'd definitely have to. Tennessee, Mississippi, Kentucky, Arkansas, Delaware, D.C. You know, so basically we're talking about a spread of the United States that certainly stands out. And this, we talk about ethnic cuisine. Sometimes it's soul food. You know, when in the late 19th century, you know, the black church became a gathering place for the black community. And this impacted the development of what is now considered soul food. You know, in rural areas, the foods like, as I mentioned before, fried chicken or fried fish or black-eyed peas. You know, sweet potato pie. You know, all of this was served during emancipation and celebrations and church gatherings. So basically, you see people sitting around beautiful long tables, serving generation after generation. You know, in the 20th century, more than 6 million Southern black people decided to leave the South due to the poor conditions and very intense racial oppression. And that's where, in the 1960s, the expression soul food originated. And, you know, the soul describes the African-American culture. You know, it's down-home cooking, passed down through many generations with their roots in the South. And you know, all soul food definitely Southern, but not Southern food is considered, not all Southern food is considered soul food. I love those statements where you tie a knot with the words. So all soul food is definitely Southern, but not all Southern food is considered soul food. From 1916 to 1970, there were waves of people that moved. It was like a massive relocation. They called it the Great Migration. And it served as a reminder, it's food. It was home. You know, it helped to build new communities. It definitely, you know, fed people with staples from beans and greens to cornbread and cornmeal, hush puppies, Johnny cakes. I love some of these titles. You know, and, you know, the coating for the fried fish and the fried chicken, and that came to America in the 1900s by a Scottish immigrant. So it's interesting to sometimes see roots, sometimes see where people are coming from, literally. You know, the black people basically just spiced up those wonderful fried chickens and paired it with some of those famous collard greens. You know, in 2011, collards became the official vegetable of South Carolina. So it's interesting to see how people use food and gathering together as something that I think it's wonderful to bring people together over something that has both culture and flavor. And that's why today we're talking about the combination of bread, of which there are many different kinds, and breakfast. Again, a wonderful way to sometimes do it. You know, I think talking about the women who, when Southern women cook, that's the title of a book from America's Test Kitchen, and they talk about throughout history, food and cooking have sustained women as they have carved out a place for themselves in society and their communities. This is particularly poignant when you listen to women's stories in the American South. You know, exploring how food has enabled women to overcome adversity and provide for themselves and their families. You know, you think of all the wonderful, beautiful restaurants and gathering places where women could have power where they wouldn't otherwise. We're talking about Morgan Bolling, who talks about she started volunteering at the Cambridge Women's Center, which is a community support space for women of all backgrounds and identities in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She had come from a line of women who gave her a crash course in feminism through their lived and sometimes difficult experiences. You know, her mom, who wanted to be an artist, became a doctor after learning from her mother a hard lesson about the importance of creating economic independence. You know, again, we stand on the shoulder of women who have done things that give us the power to do things. And I think that's something that was always interesting to watch. I know my mother didn't do certain things because she was supposed to be a wife. And I think this is one of the things that, you know, we look at and we try and understand. And I know for someone like myself, who I never considered what I did was something that I couldn't do. It was just, what do you want to do? And I knew for me, teaching was the thing that was going to be my nourishment. And I've always chosen to teach, whether it was teaching childbirth classes for many years, and then that went into how to work with mothers and babies after they have had the children and coming back together again for baby exercise. But it was more than that. It was support. It was a time to come together and enjoy each other's company. And obviously food is a part of that. You know, I think, you know, she started helping people that were just lonely or looking for someone to listen. And eventually she co-facilitated a support group for women and non-binary trauma survivors, which she still does today. We're talking about Morgan Boland here. So her work at Cooks County and at the Women's Center basically fueled her. But the idea of melding her culinary career with her passion for supporting women seemed improbable, and that was until Tony Tipton Martin became Cooks County editor-in-chief. And then they began to explore this intersection of food and empowerment. It turned out that both Tony and her had been thinking a lot about how to give women space in a world that tells us to be smaller. And I think this is something that is important for women today to understand, that we haven't always had the place to choose. You know, When Southern Women Cook, this book that I'm going to be quoting from today and getting recipes from, it's the outcome of many meaningful conversations. And I think it's important to understand that to get these out and, you know, to tell the story in the Cooks County magazine, you know, they were positioned to make the book of their dreams. And I think this is important that to understand. You know, coming from, you know, she learned more than 10 years ago that we start recipe development with research and from reading cookbooks and then interviewing experts. And from there, we cook 5 versions to cover different ways people make a dish, which I think is fun to think about how many times you can enjoy making a dish different or unique. And then it gets all kinds of scientific, you know, we facilitate the side-by-side taste tests until they're satisfied that a recipe is foolproof. And I think this is what's fun about the America Test Kitchen book. First off, I happen to love the photographs, and I think that should be a must with any recipe book, to be able to see them. And they have these beautiful color photographs. And then they talk about why the recipe works. And I think this is one of the things that it's exciting to understand. Especially if you haven't tasted the recipe. So in talking about what I'll call one of the first bread recipes, they call them hoe cakes. No, hoe cakes, as a popularly called in the South, are akin to hot water cornbread, fried cornbread, and Johnny cakes, all versions of earthy, naturally sweet, ever so slightly gritty cornmeal pancakes. So there's a legend that enslaved people would cook these cakes on the hoes in the field under the hot sun. That's one explanation for how hoe cakes got their name. However, food historian Rod Cofield asserts in his essay, How the Hoe Cakes, Most Likely, Got Its Name, that evidence for this is limited. It's more likely that the name came from a piece of cooking equipment akin to a griddle called a hoe. So while enslaved people certainly did make hoe cakes are referred in, are referenced in recipe collections in Virginia as early as the 17th century, which points to Native American roots. Now, these cornmeal cakes are commonly found as a side dish alongside breakfast or dinner in the South. I always love having dinner, having breakfast for dinner. That's kind of fun. And it's also traditional to serve the golden bread for New Year's, often with collard greens to symbolize wealth for the coming year. I always love it when food and gatherings and color all bring about a memory that's both visual and it brings up, you know, your nose, your taste, everything. You know, for this multi-purpose recipe, we were after cakes with crisp exteriors surrounding light and fluffy interiors that are delicious on their own with butter or alongside or dipped and crumbled into collard greens or straight buttermilk. To achieve this textured contrast, we cut the cornmeal with a little flour and add baking powder, and that gives it a kind of fluffiness. That's my editorial comment. You know, when you're pan-frying the cakes in bacon fat, it gives them sort of a lightly crisp edge and infuses them with plenty of smoky pork flavor. You know, it's fun to cook in bacon grease, I find, because I do like the flavor myself. But you can substitute vegetable oil for the bacon fat, if that's what you want to do. And the batter will thicken just slightly after sitting in step one. So basically you're going to set a wired rack in a rimmed baking sheet, and you're going to whisk cornmeal and flour and baking powder and salt all together in a large bowl. So you've got about a cup and a half of cornmeal, a half a cup of all-purpose flour, just 2.5 teaspoons of baking powder, a little bit of salt, 1 teaspoon, and then, you know, your milk, about a cup and a third. And if you're using the bacon fat, about 3 tablespoons of bacon fat. It's just divided because you're going to use it in different parts of the baking process. So you're heating 1 tablespoon of that bacon fat in a 12-inch nonstick skillet over medium-high heat until shimmering, and you're going to be using a 1/4 of a cup of dried measuring and you position portion, and you take 4 scant scoops of batter evenly spaced in the skillet so you have wonderful round dollops, so to speak, and you're cooking until the edges of the cakes are set and the first side is deep golden brown. Takes about 1.5 minutes, doesn't take very long. And then you're flipping, and you're continuing to cook until the second side is golden brown. Again, takes about 1 minute. And then you transfer the hoe cakes to a prepared rack, and you repeat with the remaining bacon fat and batter, and then you serve. And so, you know, what you're looking at again is, I would think of them as a pancake, but they call them hoe cakes. Because of the cornbread and all those wonderful light fluffiness that comes when you combine cornmeal and flour and baking powder. And, you know, the milk certainly makes it a delightful, delicious food. You know, as we go through the show, we'll be talking about different cornbreads and different breakfasts. Talking about bread and breakfast, so to speak. And I think, you know, if you can picture it in your mind, it's wonderful. If you have a chance to get these books, book from America's Test Kitchen and then Southern Women Cook, the subtitle is History, Lore, and 300 Recipes. And they talk about contributions are coming from 70 women writers. And I think it's important to, again, give credit to the women, to understand that, you know, cornmeal is certainly, it's just a staple. And when we look at staples in our lives, they're always fun to come back to and to play with. So today we'll be playing with those breads and breakfast. So stay tuned, we'll be right back. Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's S-U-N-F-L-A-I-R.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
So I'm talking about Southern women, and we're talking about bread and breakfast today. Basically, a quick cornbread, you can't go without doing that. You know, although they say that this was invented in Michigan, you know, Jiffy corn muffin mix is a ubiquitous ingredient in Southern cooking. You know, it owes its origin to a woman named Mabel White Holmes, according to Jiffy's website. You know, Holmes' twin boys brought a friend over to their house to play, and when Holmes offered them lunch, the friend insisted on eating what his father had sent, including some unappealing biscuits. And she knew that that light, flaky biscuit, you know, certainly wasn't easy to make, but these were exceptionally sad-looking. So Holmes went on to create Jiffy Biscuit Mix, which debuted in 1930. I love it, the fact that this has such a long history, and was marketed as so easy, even a man could do it. So she was president of Jiffy until 1940 and remained invested her whole life. So thankfully, times and marketing slogans have changed. But even still, Jiffy occupies an important place in Southern food culture. And I think, you know, the fact that we can even call it culture is wonderful. You know, the cornbread mix is used for everything from baking bread and muffins to thickening chili or even making corn pudding. I love it. You know, if you'd like to try and make your own cornbread mix, this recipe is an easy way to make a big batch of dry mix, so you can then add liquid ingredients anytime you want. And, you know, the mix makes a really nice gift. So I know sometimes people during the holiday season think, you know, what do I give somebody that has everything? And sometimes certain food gifts are a wonderful way of celebrating the holidays. And so, you know, when you're going to take basically a cup of milk and 8 tablespoons of unsalted butter that's been melted and cooled, 2 large eggs, and then 2 cups of the cornbread mix. And we're going to be adding the recipe for this cornbread mix. So when you're putting that cornbread mix together, you're basically whisking the cornbread inside the container, you know, well. Just make sure you mix it just nice and brisk, as they say, because this mix makes enough for 4 batches of cornbread. Don't use the coarse cornmeal for this recipe. So you're going to be using 6 cups of all-purpose flour, that's 30 ounces, and 4 cups, that's 20 ounces of cornmeal, and then 2 2/3 cup of sugar, and then 1 tablespoon of table salt, and 2 tablespoons plus 2 teaspoons of baking powder. And you're whisking the flour and the cornmeal and the sugar and the salt in an extra large bowl till it's well combined. And then you sift the baking powder through a fine mesh strainer over the bowl. And then you whisk until it's very well combined, about a minute. And then you transfer this cornbread mix to a large airtight container so that you can use it. You can store it at room temperature for up to 2 months. So this is one of those things that you can make ahead of time and then, you know, make your cornbread. It's called quick cornbread. And it takes about 45 minutes plus about 30 minutes cooling time. So you're adjusting your oven rack to the middle position, and you're going to heat that oven to 375 degrees. And you're spraying about an 8-inch pan, it's got a square baking pan, with a little vegetable oil, so that way you prepare the pan for it. You're making it nonstick. I love how you can do that so simply. And then you're whisking melted butter and eggs, as I talked about, 1 cup of butter and 2 large eggs, in a large bowl, and you combine, and you're adding the cornbread mix that we talked about. So you're taking the all-purpose flour, cornbread, sugar, salt, and baking powder together that's already been pre-mixed. And you transfer the batter to a prepared pan, and you spread it into the nice, even layer. And you bake it at that 375 degrees until it's nice and golden brown, and the toothpick that will, you know, put it in the middle of the center comes out clean. It takes about 25 to 30 minutes. And then you let that cornbread cool in the pan on the wire rack for about 20 minutes. And you remove the cornbread from the pan, and you let the cornbread cool on the wire rack for 10 minutes. And then you cut into beautiful squares and serve. And as the engineer Jay and I were talking about before this segment started, serving it with collard greens is just a beautiful presentation. Plus a lovely way to enjoy cornbread. And again, with this beautiful, beautiful color, visually it's so wonderful to see. Now, there's sweet potato cornbread as well. And that one, again, you're adding sweet potatoes, about a pound and a half, that are unpeeled, and you're adding about a half a cup of milk and 8 tablespoons of unsalted butter that's been melted, plus 1 tablespoon of unsalted butter. So then you're adding 4 large eggs and a cup and a half of cornmeal, and this is the brown sugar, I'm sorry, the cornmeal mix. The cornmeal, the flour, the sugar, the baking powder, the baking soda, and the salt. So you're adjusting the oven rack to the middle position. You're heating that oven to 475 degrees. And you're going to prick the potatoes all over with a fork. And then they like to microwave on a large plate until the potatoes are very soft. You could definitely steam them. And you're going to be flipping every 5 minutes, and then immediately slice the potatoes in half so that you carefully, you release some of that steam. And when the potatoes are cool enough to handle, you scoop the flesh into a bowl and you mash until they're wet and nice and smooth. You should probably have about 1¾ cups when you do those potatoes. There's about 1½ pounds. And then you whisk in the milk and the melted butter and the eggs and the cornmeal mix and all of that. And then you stir the potato mixture until it's combined. And then you're going to be melting all this together in a cast iron skillet until it's nice and bubbling. It takes about 3 minutes. Then you swirl the butter to coat the bottom of the sides. And you pour that batter into a hot skillet. And you bake until it's wonderful golden brown, about 20 to 25 minutes. And when we come back, we'll finish it. So stay tuned.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflare.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number 4, the letter U, at live.com. Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. Start learning now.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Order one of Alyssa's 4 recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
It's a fact. With Clarins, life is more beautiful, and so are you. If you love beauty, and let's face it, love is behind everything we do, then you'll love Clarins Beauty Products. I use Clarins, and people ask me all the time how I stay looking so young. I tell them it's love. But now you know my real secret. It's Clarins. They have a full line of highly effective beauty products containing the highest quality ingredients while respecting the environment. Who wouldn't love that? Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Clarins and make your life more beautiful, starting with you.
Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
And as we talked about, that sweet potato cornbread, basically you're taking the potatoes and you're scooping the flesh into a bowl. And you basically, the potatoes are nice and, you know, you prick them with the fork all over. And you basically just get them nice and, potatoes should be very soft. And the surfaces should be slightly wet. And then when the potatoes are cool enough to handle, you scoop that flesh into a bowl and you mash it. So this is the sweet potato cornbread. And you're whisking in milk and butter and eggs. And then you're going to be stirring the potato mixture into the cornmeal mixture until it's nice and combined. And then you melt the remaining tablespoon of butter in that 10-inch cast iron skillet. And you swirl the butter to coat the bottom and the sides. And then you pour the batter into the hot skillet. And you're going to smooth the top with a rubber spatula. And you're going to bake until the cornbread is golden brown and that toothpick is inserted and it comes out nice and clean. It takes about 25 to 30 minutes. And then you're letting that cornbread cool in the skillet on a wire rack for an hour. And you loosen the edges of the cornbread from the skillet with a spatula and you slide it out onto the cutting board and you cut into wedges and you serve. And they talk about a ginger honey butter. So this honey butter just tastes great, even on root vegetables like corn or pork chops even, pancakes. Basically, you're using a fork and you're whisking all the ingredients together until it's combined. And you're combining 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter that has been softened and 2 tablespoons of honey and 1 teaspoon of grated fresh ginger. And just 1/4 teaspoon of table salt. Again, that salt kind of zings the sweetness. And this butter can be refrigerated for up to 3 days, so you can make it ahead of time. Again, if you're doing holiday celebrations, sometimes doing something new or something different, this sweet potato cornbread would be just a wonderful, wonderful choice. And, you know, when they talk about how the South makes cornbread, the question goes back to a common ground experiment that she devised that invited friends to whip up their favorite recipe in a plastic bag. And then that idea sort of came from a conversation that she had. This is Tony Tipton Martin who's speaking here in a book from the America's Test Kitchen. And this Ronnie emphatically believed that cornbread took all kinds of new personality traits in the hands of enterprising cooks. So that her ancestors, for example, developed a taste for sweet cornbread that they still call cornbread, whereas other people called it cake. And again, you know, she shared her experience during the workshop for Terra Vita Food and Drink Festival, Sustainable Classroom. And this festival was founded by Colleen Minton in 2010 with a mission of spreading the gospel of sustainable food and drink. You know, for 10 years, the annual event featured chef demos and dinners and tasting events and wonderful educational experiences. You know, in addition to the cornbread activity, there was just a whole diverse panel of women that talked about Native American and New Southern cornbread traditions. And I think it's fun to look at this whole food experience as something that when you can, you know, enjoy all of this. Talking about fresh cornbread muffins. You know, one of the best things about summer in the South is bushels of corn at the farmer's market. And, of course, fresh corn is just delightful, straight off a boiled cob with butter or in a number of garden fresh vegetable dishes. But if you're lucky enough to have a surplus, an extra amount, making your sweet corn muffins is just lovely. And so you're going to adjust the rack to the middle position again. 400 degrees is going to preheat. And then you generously spray that 12-cup muffin tins with a vegetable oil spray. And then you're whisking your flour, your cup of cornmeal, your sugar, your baking salt, salt and baking powder, in a large bowl, and you set that aside. So you've got a cup and a half of flour, a cup and a half of cornmeal, a cup of sugar, 7 ounces, and 1.5 teaspoons of table salt, baking soda, and baking powder, about a teaspoon of each, a little more baking powder, and a cup of milk, and a half a cup of sour cream. Ooh, yum. And 8 tablespoons of unsalted butter that's been melted, combining that with 2 large eggs and 2 cups of corn, which can be about 2 to 3 ears of corn that you just scraped down the side, separated from the cob, and you've got your fresh corn muffins. So you basically have blessed your kitchen with this mixture that you put into baking tins. And you bake until the muffins are golden brown at that 400 degrees. And it takes 20 to 24 minutes. And you let the muffins cool in the muffin tin on a wire rack for about 5 minutes. And then you remove those muffins from the tin and let it cool on the rack for about 15 minutes. Lovely to serve these warm. And I think this is kind of fun. And they talk about a cardamom brown sugar butter in which you're, you know, mixing together 8 tablespoons of unsalted butter that's been softened, about 1/4 cup of light brown sugar, 3/4 teaspoon of ground cardamom, and about 1/2 tablespoon of table salt. And you just use a fork and you mash all the ingredients together in a bowl. And that butter can be refrigerated for up to 3 days. So you put that wonderful, rich cardamom brown sugar butter on top of your fresh corn muffins. Yum! I hope you, when you hear me speak of recipes, you try to visualize what's going on there, because I think this is one way that radio, unfortunately, doesn't give the visuals that TV does. And so it's up to you to use your imagination to picture what happens when you're baking, when you're cooking, when you're preparing food. And, you know, just think of that golden yellow color that's so beautiful with cornbread and cornmeal and corn muffins. So hope you're enjoying the mental image that you can put together. When we come back, we'll have more. So stay tuned.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflare.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com. gmail.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number 4, the letter U, at live.com. Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. Start learning now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Now, if you're going to talk about biscuits, you got to talk about gravy. And so, talk about different kinds of gravy. You know, and talk about sawmill gravy. So, biscuits and gravy are combined. They feel, for the first time in southern Appalachia, and, you know, lumber was one of the main industries at this time. And the theory goes that the sawmill workers would eat biscuits smothered in a calorie-dense sausage-based gravy to power them through the workday. I'm going to take a sip of water here. Yum. And so you're combining the flour, about a fourth of a cup of all-purpose flour, and pepper, about 1.5 teaspoons of pepper, in a small bowl. And then you're cooking some sausage, about 1.5 pounds of bulk pork sausage, in a 12-inch nonstick skillet over a medium heat. And you just keep breaking the meat up with a wooden spoon until it's no longer pink. It takes about 8 minutes. And then you sprinkle the flour mixture over the sausage, and you cook, stirring constantly until the flour has been absorbed. It takes about a minute. And then you slowly stir in about 3 cups of whole milk until that sauce has thickened. It takes about 5 minutes to thicken it. And you season with salt and pepper to taste, and then you serve. So basically, it's a sausage, flour, wonderful gravy. And, you know, it's the notion that you can make these gravies ahead of time and then have them on hand, because they'll last for a while. Now, chocolate gravy, this is particularly loved in Arkansas. The chocolate, yes, chocolate. This gravy should be nice and thick and rich and sweet enough to complement a tangy biscuit. Works best with natural unsweetened cocoa powder. And you're going to be using the Dutch processed cocoa powder, if you can. It'll result in a slightly thinner gravy. So just knowing that this recipe can be doubled, and you can increase the simmering time to 25 minutes. So basically, you're whisking cocoa about a half a cup of unsweetened cocoa powder, and about a half a cup of sugar, and about a tablespoon, not much, of all-purpose flour. So you're whisking all this together in a large saucepan. And then you whisk in water, about a cup of water, and milk, about, a cup and a half of water to 1 cup of milk. Kind of find the balance that works best for you. And you bring all this to a simmer over a medium heat, and you cook lifting frequently until that nice, thickened and small bubbles slowly break at the surface. Take about 15 minutes. And then off the heat, you whisk in the butter. So you've got about 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter. And you serve. And that gravy can be refrigerated for up to a week, as I said. So you can bring it to a brief simmer over a medium-low heat, adjusting the consistency with extra milk as needed. And whisking just vigorously if that gravy appears broken. So that way the whisking creates a nice homogenized texture. Now, browned butter in chocolate gravy, basically you're heating the butter in a large skillet over the medium heat. And again, this is about that 6 tablespoons of butter. And about 2 minutes you're heating the butter. And then you continue cooking until that butter is a nice, dark, golden brown and has a sort of nutty aroma. And that 1 to 3 minutes you're going to be doing that. And then you transfer the butter to a small, heat-proof bowl. And you proceed with that recipe as directed in that now empty saucepan. So basically you've been, whisking everything together and you serve it the same way. But the notion that you ground the butter first gives that gravy a slightly different flavor. And again, sometimes it's the small changes that you make in a recipe that give it its flavor or its personality. If you're doing an orange rose chocolate gravy, you're substituting a half of the rose water for the vanilla. And then you add, 4 3-inch strips of orange zest with that milk and the water. So again, it's been a cup and a half of water to about a cup of milk. And then you discard the zest before the whisking in the butter and the rose water. And that gives you a wonderful zing. And I know having, different kinds of gravy is fun. If you do a spiced chocolate gravy, you're going to be adding a little ancho chili powder, just about a half a teaspoon, and a quarter of a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and then about an eighth of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper into that sugar mixture before you add the water and the milk. So, again, you can have all kinds of interesting gravy choices. And changing the gravy can change the flavor of a dish. And I think this is something that I just enjoy thinking about, what happens when you're making these dishes, either for the first time or thinking about putting together a menu for the first time. And I think this is one of the things that I enjoy about putting together these shows, is considering the options of what you can do. And so if you have a chance to take a look at When Southern Women Cook by the America's Test Kitchen, it's just a wonderful, it's like an anthology of Southern women and cooking and biscuits and gravy and having wonderful, we didn't even get to breakfast today because the biscuits were just so yummy. And I think that's something to consider. When you're setting your holiday table, it might be doing something a little bit different with the gravy. It might be doing a little something different with, the cornbread and having that live corn kernels in the bread itself. It can make a difference for your holiday table this year. So I hope you're having a lovely holiday season. When we come back, we're going to have some closing thoughts.
Order one of Alyssa's 4 recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
A better world begins with you. Find out how on HealthyLife.net.
I hope you've enjoyed thinking about doing these recipes as much as I have enjoyed sharing them with you. I think the idea that when Southern women cook, and having bread. We didn't even get to breakfast, so I'll have to push that forward into another show. So we'll do breakfast the next show. But it's the notion that you can put together menus, you can put together recipes, you can play with gravy, you can play with, you know, just contents. I know I've done cornbread with grated zucchini and grated carrots and all sorts of interesting combinations of foods so that you can really enjoy expanding your holiday menu, expanding your holiday table, and just, you know, enjoying the fact that for so many women who have, we are standing on their shoulders, to just know that we're putting together meals and food that has a wonderful history and a wonderful lineage. So happy holiday to you. God bless.